Well, greetings. As you guys know, I'm Shannon, and this is Becky, and we are the Bales, and we served in Botswana, Africa for 2 years. Now, God is taking us in a whole different direction now. Now we're still with the Assemblies of God. We were what you called missionary associates. Now we are going to be career missionaries, which means we are going to be leading instead of being led in the place that we're going, and God is leading us to a place called Lesotho. Can you guys say Lesotho? Very good. Sometimes we say things a little bit different here in the way that they say them, but I'll let Becky go ahead and talk about where we've been a little bit.
This is actually South Africa. I know we said that we were in Botswana, but because of visa issues and everything, when we first got there, we weren't allowed to go to Botswana. So we were supposed to go to South Africa for 2 weeks until they got that taken care of. Well, then COVID hit and lockdown came. The borders closed, and we were in South Africa for 9 months. So we found things to do while we were in South Africa. This is a children's feeding program where Shannon and I went in. Not only did we get to talk to the children there, but we cooked with them out of big pots 5 times a week. We cooked for 300 people. At first, we did about 100 to 150 adults, the elderly, the disabled, any of them that could not afford it. We fixed meals for them. Shannon was able to give a devotion during that time. And then after that, when the children got out of school, they came for a meal, and we had the same meal prepared for them. We were able to give them the meal. We did another 15-minute devotion with the children, and then we were able to help them with their homework after that.
This, you can see, is we're at a school here, a public school in Botswana. Now, you can't see past the picture. You can see it this way, right? Imagine two-thirds more the other direction. We're talking 800 to 1,000 students in a public school. And we're standing in front of them, and we're giving them a lesson about Jesus Christ right at the public school grounds. It is such an amazing time to be able to go out and do that. It was one of my favorite times. We would go out each and every week. We had three or four schools that we could go into week after week and give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we weren't able at the at, when COVID came on, we couldn't get gather like this, right? It wasn't happening. So we would have to actually go into the classrooms, which made the classrooms were about 40 kids in each classroom. So it made it even more really available for them to help us. When we did the lessons, we would bring the kids up, like three or four kids, to help us with the lesson. So they really got ingrained in it and got an understanding of what was going on. So many, many students came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through what is called global evangelistic ministry into the schools. Now we're wanting to do that in Lesotho also, but as we'll tell you at the end here, it just isn't going to happen right away like it did in Botswana.
This is my favorite part. While church was closed down, and then even when it started, for the last 2 years, children have not been allowed into the churches. Because of the 50 number in the schools and in the church, they haven't allowed children in. But we were able to walk down our local neighborhood, and as we walked, we could meet with the children. And so we walked, and this is one that's right. A field next to our thing where we could still come and gather with the children, we could play games, and we could do the same lesson that he gave in the school, we could give to the local kids. But if you look in this picture, most of these kids are younger than second grade. They start learning English in second grade. So these kids only learn their language, Setswana, and we knew English, so we had that barrier. But as we were walking down the road, they would come along beside us and they'd try to talk to us and would say, "No, we're just going for a walk." Well, then their parents would holler and they'd say, "Samaya," and that means walk. So the little kids would come next to us as he's walking and they'd say, "Samaya, Samaya, Samaya," as we were out on our daily walk. Well, that built relationships with us. And then when the older children got out of school, they were able to come and interpret the lesson that we'd given them. So it all worked out.
God's good, isn't it? Here is the youth group that we were over while we were in Botswana. Now, when we were in Botswana, The children, the young children, what was the age? You couldn't come past fifth
up to
grade.
15.
Up to 15. So 15 and up to like 30 is their youth group in Africa. They don't get married till they're around 30 years old in Africa. Anyway, this is the youth group that we got to be over. Because of the COVID restrictions, they weren't allowing children into the services, and they were only allowed 50 people in each service. So they would only have, and they would only give them two services a week. So they gave us, the preacher, the pastor that we were underneath of in Botswana, they gave us a youth group to be over. So we had an opportunity to be with these youth leaders in this youth group. And I'm happy to say that this is our place. This is the grounds in which we stayed on. And they came over to our house to have a wonderful time of an American cookout. So our American cookout is what? Usually some hamburgers, some chips, maybe some hot dogs or brats or something like that. Listen, in Africa, that isn't normal for them. What's normal for them, and you might think, oh, that's a little bit more expensive. What's normal for them is steak, chicken, you know, things that are a little bit more expensive, you would think. But believe it or not, I could buy, listen, men, if you like to cook, a whole filet for $8. Can you imagine? What do we pay for a filet now? For 25, 30 bucks just for a meal, right, at your local Texas Roadhouse. So we had filet just about every week. I like to grill. So, but these guys came over. They said, we want an American meal. So we served them hamburgers and hot dogs. But I want to give you this today. I know you see, I'm supposed to be acting goofy in this. And I do a good job of acting goofy all the time. Anyway, they just wanted to do a funny picture. But these guys are now leading their youth group. You know, when you go out as a missionary, you don't want to just go out as a missionary, be there for 9 months or so, and then all of a sudden, when you leave, you don't leave them anything to grab onto. So now we know, because we're still in contact with them, the youth group is growing. There's people preaching in that youth group. People are coming. They're evangelizing. They're doing the things that God's called them to do. And it's been a great opportunity for Becky and I to see it from this side of America. Go ahead.
This is a picture of Africa. And if you look almost to the bottom in the blue is Botswana, where we were at before. Down in the bottom says South Africa, but there's a little section that's a little darker yellow that says Lesotho. That's where we'll be going. That's up in the mountains. March 10th, we were approved as career missionaries to go for our first three-year term. So as soon as we raise our funds, we'll be going to Lesotho. We wanted to go in as children's and youth workers, the same as we had in Botswana. But the agency asked us if we would go in just as general missionaries for the first term, because COVID has really struck them down. They're landlocked inside of South Africa. So as I said earlier, South Africa's borders were closed for those 2 years. That means the borders in and out of Lesotho were also closed for those 2 years. Nothing could get in, nothing could get out. So they had to rely on their own thing. Most of it that they exported out for income was lost. The foods that they asked that usually were imported into their country were lost. That left, even the local church, the pastors were saying, God, why did you forget about us? If your pastor's not healthy, the church isn't healthy. We can thank God in America that we have healthy pastors that lead a healthy church. That's not the same there. So they've asked us for the first few years just to come in to build relationships with the local church, to encourage them and to uplift them, to get them back on their feet. And then as the church is strong, then we can start the ministry that we were called to for the children and the youth.
Amen. Thank you, honey. You're welcome. Everybody give her a hand. She did a great job, didn't she? Well, once again, like I said, my name is Shannon, and I have been asked to give you a word today, and I have been waiting to give you this word. It's been in my heart before we even left Africa about what we would talk about when we came back and we started doing what we're doing now is called itineration. This is the word I want to give you today And I hope you remember it. I want you to just say it with me, okay? Say pray, give, go. Pray, give, go. That's what I want you to remember today. But I'm really going to focus on the go part. But let's just get into this. Let's just ask the Lord to bless this time. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus for your blessing upon your word, Lord. We know that it never comes back void, Lord. It always does what it's supposed to do, and it will continue to do the work it's been doing for a very, very long time. So we ask you, Father, that you would just touch each and every heart today as I give the word, as your Holy Spirit leads me, Lord. Father, I thank you for this word, and I thank you for what it's going to do in each and every one of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So today I want to speak to you about praying, giving, and going. Each one of these praying, giving, and going are acts of obedience. And each one is not any more important than the other. You understand? They all are just as important as the next one. When we pray and we give and we go, we are fulfilling the great commission that Jesus commanded us to do. I'm going to say that again. When we pray, give, and go, we are fulfilling the great commission that Jesus has commanded us to do. In Matthew 28, 19 through 20, it says, therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples, and listen to this word, to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. A word I would like to point out to you in these verses is obey. Can you guys say obey? Yeah. The definition of obey is to comply or to follow the commands, restrictions, or wishes of someone else, or even to submit or to conform to any action that someone has given you. When we are truly sold out to Jesus, we will obey his command to reach all the nations with the gospel and make disciples wherever that may be. In the next few minutes, I would like to talk to you about praying, how praying, giving, and going are vital to the Great Commission being fulfilled. First, praying. Jesus never did anything in his ministry without consulting his Heavenly Father. Praying to our Heavenly Father and it gives us clear focus and discernment when we are going to fill God's great commission. For example, Becky and I were called into overseas ministry. Becky had prayed the night before. I heard the Lord clearly call us into overseas missions. When I called her to give her the news that we were going to be, I believe that God had called us into missions, she tells me, well, that doesn't surprise me. I said, what do you mean that doesn't surprise you? She's like nonchalant about it. I'm like, this is a big deal. But she goes, well, just last night I was asking God, where are you taking us on our next missions trip? We had been on a couple missions trips, one here in America and also one in Guatemala. So Becky was just, you know, praying, talking to the Lord, saying, where is it you're taking us next? Well, lo and behold, did she know I was going to be calling her that day? And here we are. Becky, because of Becky's prayer, Becky's prayed, this was the first of many confirmations for Becky and I to be missionaries overseas. Prayer is the compass that continues to point us to God's will. I want to say that again. Prayer is the compass that continues to point us into God's will. If we will stay engaged in prayer with the Father, he will continue to lead and to guide and protect us as we fulfill his great commission. Not ours, his great commission. Second, giving. Giving has always been a part of the Christian's DNA. And let me just stop there and let you know, this church knows how to give. I just want to say that we have been the recipients of your generosity for years now. And just recently, we had a very, very generous gift. And I want to tell you something. It came at a very special time for Becky and I, and a very needed time. My wife and I were just married 14 years, March 8th. We were down in Springfield, Springfield, Missouri, to find out if we were going to be able to go to the Lesotho, Africa, if all the people and the Assemblies of God were going to give us that signature to say, yes, you can go. I'm laying in my bed that morning with my wife, and she says, well, since you're laying down, I don't need to tell you to sit down, but we just received a gift from Texas Christian Church that was above and beyond anything we could think or imagine. So I want to tell you guys something. That meant a lot to us, and it's being used for the kingdom of God. And I just want to tell you, your generosity out of this church is just phenomenal. I've never seen anything like it, and we want to thank you so much for all that you do. So give yourselves a hand clap, because you did a great job. I thank you guys for that. Like I said, it's always, you guys have it down. In our DNA is giving. We must continue to give of many things. From Genesis to Revelation, we find giving weaved through in and out the Bible. No matter where you go in the Bible, you're going to find some type of giving in the Bible. Just for example, in Genesis 4:4, Abel brought a gift from his flock, and he gave the best that he could to offer God. Let's always give our best. Listen, you guys got that down, okay? But I'm just saying, let's give our best to God. And I'm not just talking monetary, okay? You're going to hear this in a little bit more in the sermon. I'm not just talking about monetary. I'm talking about of giving of yourself. Also, in Genesis 14:19-20, Abram, before he was Abraham, gave Melchizedek a tenth of all his goods he had recovered from a war that he had just done. So giving has really been part since the Genesis time, okay? Before it was even said, hey, we should give a tenth of everything that we earn. And let us not forget the most extravagant giving of all. And that is when the Father God sent Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, down to take away all of our sins. Hallelujah. The one that took away all the sins who would call on his name. And I don't know if everyone knows Jesus Christ in here, hallelujah, but I want to tell you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to introduce you to my best friend, and we can do that anytime. We have all been taught in church to give a tithe or some type of giving, right? The first fruits of our earnings, and we should do that. When I started to understand and get an understanding of this tithing thing, I couldn't wait to give into God's economy. Because God's economy doesn't look like our economy. Our economy seems crazy right now. Gas prices are up. Things are going haywire. But we need not worry. If we're giving in to the kingdom of God, I can guarantee you this. He is going to give back into you more than you could ever give to him. I've seen it over and over and over again in our lives. And I'm telling you, he does it every single time. God has been so generous to give us everything we need. It seems only right to obey his command to give back a portion of what he has given us. Right? Am I right? Amen. The other type of giving, I really want you to listen to this, please. The other type of giving I want to talk to you about is the giving of ourselves to the Great Commission. We have a job to do. God has told us in his word, this is what I want you to do. This is what I've commanded you to do. Each and every one of us has been given gifts from God through the Holy Spirit to do a mighty work for his name. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7 says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. Verse 6, God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. And verse 7, I really want you to hear this. A spiritual gift is given to each and every one of us so we can help each other. Amen? Yeah, he gives them to us so we can help each other. And not just the brothers and sisters of Christ, but those that are out in the world that don't even know Christ. We're supposed to give ourselves over and over and over again, just like Jesus did. If you read through verse 11 here in 1 Corinthians 12, you will see the different gifts that the Apostle Paul lists, and I'm just going to name them real quick. There are the gifts of wisdom, a message of knowledge, great faith, the gift of healing, power to do miracles, ability to prophesy, ability to discern spirits, speak in different languages, and others the ability to interpret those different languages. Listen, each of these gifts are given by the Holy Spirit so that we can do our part of fulfilling the Great Commission. He's given them to us freely. Do I tell you that you'll have each and every one of these? No, I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is God gives freely through His Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. I challenge you to go and look back in this list in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and say, Lord, what gifts have you given me to use for the kingdom of God? What we have been given, we must give freely to others and to those that do not yet know Him. And this is where that going comes in that I was talking about. I told you I was going to talk about praying. I told you I was going to talk about giving. Now we're going to talk about the going. If prayer is the avenue in which God is giving us direction and giving us communion with Him, and giving is the highway in which we put what God has given us to use, then let me tell you, the going is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it really happens. This is where you put your faith and everything that you're doing into action. Each and every one of us has a call to go. Can you say go? Yes. Each and every one of us has a call to go. The scripture I referred to earlier at the beginning, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, says, therefore, go. Go and make disciples. The going part can be quite intimidating for some people. Am I right? Has anybody ever been intimidated about the going? Yeah, there's a few hands going up. I'm glad you're being honest with me today, because there's things that are called introverts, people that are introverts, and people that are extroverts. Listen, I'm a big-time extrovert. My wife is a big-time introvert. But here's what happens. I just want to give you an example from my wife's life. And I asked her to do this, guys, so I'm not going to get in trouble. Becky is a huge introvert. She is. She's just introverted as can be. She lived in the same town of Clinton, not 2 miles in any radius, for over 50 years. But when the call came to go overseas, she said yes to God, and I am so glad she did. Hallelujah. You know, is it easy to leave family and friends, your church, and go to another country? Absolutely not. Let me just tell you that. No, we've got grandkids and kids. We love our church. It's hard to leave those things. But because she was willing to go in the direction that God had given us, now we are missionaries to Africa. Hallelujah. Because she is able to use the gifts in which God has given her in that place, even though she's an introvert. Listen, you're not, just because you're an introvert doesn't mean that you're taking away from doing the Great Commission, because you're not. It's not an excuse. We can't use that excuse. Oh, I'm just introverted. I can't talk to nobody. God didn't say that in His Word, okay, folks? I know it's easier coming from an extrovert saying that. I'm just telling you, that's the command, and we just need to stick to it. As I stand before you guys today, I realize that each one of you are not called to missions overseas. Am I right? I know some are. I've talked to someone today that's already been into the missions field. Hallelujah. But that does not exclude you from the Great Commission. I know I'm saying this a couple times, but I really want you to hear this, because it doesn't exclude us from that commission. The Great Commission is for all who believe in Jesus Christ. You're all commissioned by God to bring people into the kingdom. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people everywhere, say everywhere. Right, you'll tell people everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let me put this verse into geographical area of where we're at. Jesus would be telling us to go to Maroa, to go to Clinton, to go to Decatur, to go to Harristown, to go to Kinney. That's where he wants us to be his witnesses right here. You see, we are all missionaries. I know maybe in your mind, you think, oh, no, I'll never go overseas. I'm not a missionary. That's fine, but you're a missionary right here. There is a missions field all over the place. It's in Clinton. It's in Kinney. It's everywhere. It's your next door neighbor. It's your coworker. It's the person that's waiting on you at the restaurant. If God so puts it in your heart to speak to them about Jesus, you need to do it. I'm just saying it's part of what we are as Christians. We are about the Great Commission. No matter where we are, we should always be shining the light of Jesus. And that doesn't happen easy every day, right? We all have our days. But listen, if we'll get past that and we'll shine the light of Jesus, I'm telling you, your day will be a whole lot better. Hallelujah. As I was praying and preparing for this talk, I realized that there are some here that have had the call to missions overseas. But something has taken that space from them, and they seem like that door has just slammed shut on them. Let me tell you something. I'm here to tell you that door is not shut at all. When God gives you a call to do something, when He calls you to pray, when He calls you to start a Bible study, when He calls you to do a number of things, we can do them because He has called us to do that. The only way that Becky and I go to the field, don't get me wrong, it takes finances to do that, but really we rely on the call of Jesus more than anything. We go back to that date. We've got it written down and we keep it before our face all the time. God called us on this date. Because the call is what you have to go back to every time, because sometimes it gets really hairy out there, guys. I'll just be honest with you. Just like it does here. And we'll feel like everything's falling apart. But if you go back to that call that God's called you, I'm telling you, you'll be just fine. What I said, like I said earlier, some of you have been called to even missionary work overseas since you were a little kid. Maybe some of you, even hearing me today, are saying, you know what, this sounds like I could go out and do some of that stuff. I'd be interested in that. I hope that God would reach into your heart today and He would do that calling, that even if you did it from when you were a little kid, He would call that back up in you and say, yes. And you would be the person to say, yes, I'll go. And how do you do that? You first start talking to God. You talk to your pastor, but I would also say you can come and talk to Becky and I, and we could give you some direction on what you could do to get into the missions field, okay? There are so many options. There's short-term missions trips. You can go on short-term missions trips 2 weeks, a month, 2 months. I mean, we got college students coming, taking a gap year just to come and do missions. It is the coolest thing ever that they would take some time before they get ready to get into all their studies and take some time and say, well, God, what do you want? Are you leading me to be a doctor? Are you leading me to be a pastor? Are you leading me to be a missionary? Whatever that may look like, that call becomes very real to them, usually on these missions trips. Because if they've had that call in their heart from the beginning, it's a good place to do that. Also, we have what you call medical missions trips. That's where you can go out, and if you're a doctor or you're a nurse, a CNA, you can come and you can do some of this work on the field. And we would be glad to bring you to that place. We talked to Denise a little bit about this, didn't we, Denise? About doing some things. So we don't know exactly how that's all going to turn out yet when we get to Lesotho, but you guys will be the first to know, okay? We'll let you know if you want to come over. You're welcome to come over. Listen, the options are really, really open today for the call to overseas mission. If God has given you a burden for that work, please let us know. Not only do we want to help give you some direction or give you someone to talk to about it, but we want to pray with you. We want to pray about solidifying that call. You know, when Becky and I got that call, when I was apart from her, as a matter of fact, I was at a youth convention and she was at home praying. But God still confirmed it through the both of us, and it was because of prayer. If you will lather something like that in prayer, you will get the peace that you're looking for in anything that you do, okay? Just please remember that we are all together to see Jesus' kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Don't we say it? We want to see your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And we have an opportunity to do that if we'll take the Great Commission from our heart and our heads and take it out into the world. I want to leave you with this. Each and every one of you are called to go. You are called as missionaries, whether that's to Clinton, whether that's where you work, whether you're pumping gas. If God calls you to speak to a person about Jesus Christ, I promise you, you will love what God does in that moment because He gives you the words to speak. Don't think you have to have it all figured out in your head because we don't have it all figured out. When we go to Lesotho, we're not exactly sure. We don't have it all narrowed down to do exactly what we're going to do, but we're going to do it by serving God, and we're going to do it by serving His Great Commission, okay? So listen, guys, we have prayer cards up here. We would love for you to take our new prayer cards because we're going to Lesotho. I'll open the computer back up so you can see some pictures of what has happened out in Botswana. Also, Becky, if you could come up here, please, and bring that. I'm going to ask you, Brother Scott, to come up here. You didn't know this was going to happen. I didn't tell you this, so surprise. We have a very, very, very small gift. All the giving you guys have given us, we want to give you guys a token of our appreciation for all the help that you've given us in all your prayers. So God bless you. Thank you so much.
One thing we need to say about this, though, before we give it to you, We bought these in South Africa before we came home. We were looking for something that just said Africa, and they had some there, and so we ordered more. Well, when we ordered them, we thought, oh, okay, this has South Africa on it. That's okay. They were sold in South Africa. As I was putting them away into the suitcase, I was like, God, this is going to look so odd when we take them back home and we give them to them, and it's Africa, but it has South Africa on it. And we had like 40 or 50 of these to give to people when we came. I was putting the last one into the suitcase, and I noticed Lesotho, and I'm like, we didn't know yet that's where we were going. That's where we'd been praying about going, but we didn't know. And I'm like, just that. I said, that's okay, because it has on it where we're going to next. And we found out that that is. So this little spot here is where we were going to.
That's wonderful. Amen. Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you.